The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello? And welcome to my brother, and me. I am Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
What's going on?
Great. Hello, Griffin. I believe this is a podcast.
What is this new character?
It's like some sort of like if John Waters was living in a cave for 2 decades.
No, I've been without electricity for a week, and while I was without electricity, I started reading books.
This is Booksman.
This is educated Justin.
This is your brain on books. This is what they do.
Okay. So in your mind, this is what educated people sound like?
I am in intellectual circles. This is what my friends and I, this is how we speak.
Justin, I want you to know, I picture you right now surrounded by bookcases, but your brain has swollen and you just have like a giant forehead.
I have become top heavy.
With this voice, did you inherit a proclivity for going to community pools and not swimming? Just sort of standing on the sidelines and just sort of soaking it in.
Let me put it this way. I have memorized the different popsicle flavors available at the concession stand.
Oh, no.
It's very impressive. Everyone's trying to beat the heat, they say. But without electricity, I was not able to watch my programs. I was not able to play video games. And I was forced to read, and now I've been exposed to all the great culture of the world.
How sallow is your skin? Can you give me some sort of sallowness rating?
It looks like an orange fruit by the font.
Did you get book jaundice? What happened?
No, he was just reading books and eating carrots the entire time. As they ran out of power, they had to eat their stock of baby carrots.
I was forced to eat the butterflies I've preserved over the years behind glass. Nutritionally devoid, but surprisingly very pleasing to the palate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all that voice wants to do is eat something beautiful.
So this is our advice program. My brother and me, we will dole out intellectual conversational
you're advice. Like hard right. What is this voice doing?
Yeah. I think he's turning into a condor
it's bucking underneath me.
Bucking wildly.
It wants desperately to go Skarsgård. I won't let it. I'm holding on to the reins as tightly as I can. Oh, God, it's devolved into Ed Grimley. Somebody help me.
I think it started at Grimley and went down from there.
Hey, everybody. This is our advice show. I've been exposed to the internet now for 15 minutes, and I'm dumb again. That's enough time fooling. Let's get deep into the advice.
You know, that was the original title for Back to the Future. Time fooling.
Time fooling with your buddies, Dr. Doc.
Dr. Doc and Marty McMarty.
And Martin. There's a one of the characters in Dawson's Creek is this hyper literate bartender who it's a very Goodwill Hunting sort of vibe, especially since they're in Boston.
And he wears exactly Marty McFly's outfit, and no one ever comments on it. He's fully wearing, like, orange vest with blue denim shirt, and, like, no one calls him out, like, hey, you're dressed like Marty McFly. Get it together, Dawson's Creek bartender.
Thank you, listeners, for being so patient with us after we got so blasted by the derecho.
The derecho took me down.
The derecho just, it kissed Travis. I didn't see it.
Yeah,
I
you know what? Let's do the first question because I think it'll tie in.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. What do you do in case of a prolonged power outage to stay sane? I've been drinking, playing guitar, and reading Dark Tower graphic novels by daylight, but daylight is waning. However, I'd rather be playing video games or editing a podcast. Help! Board games are not an option, and I have no light by which to read. That's from Cole Ross.
Now, Cole Ross, I know that you are in Cincinnati because you came to our live show. So we lost power here, I don't know, 2-3 days. Like, we were without it in my home for about 9 hours. Yeah. And there were people in town that were without it for 3 or 4 days.
And, Justin, you went without it for...
It came back, it went out Friday at, let me describe to you this storm, because, like, I think people hear, like, a storm, and they think, like, oh, this was, like, nothing I've ever seen before. We were driving downtown to go to Black Sheep, the delightful burrito place in the downtown Huntington area, and it literally looked like this wall of black clouds that were moving sort of swiftly towards us. But as you got downtown, there on 3rd Avenue, there's, like, it's sort of industrial right next to the university. And there are, like, these dust clouds blowing from the industrial thing and, like, making it almost impossible to see. And then all of a sudden, like, paper starts flying everywhere and rocks and, like, signs are blowing over. Jeez. And, I mean, it did, like, some serious damage in some parts of the city. I mean, it took out, like, there are whole signs that were pulled off in, like, the sporting goods store. Glenn's, like, it tore its whole awning off. Like, it was crazy. No. We were getting hit with 90-mile-an-hour winds. It flipped a plane at the Charleston airport. And they had to, like, get a crew to come pick it up. It was insane. So, like, we have not only do we not have the infrastructure for that, like, we don't have power lines underneath the ground or anything, we have, like, it hit so many places that we couldn't just, like, call better states and be like, hey, we done did it again, guys.
Are you ready to take on our refugees?
Yeah, please come bring us ice and skull.
Bring us snooze.
Sweet snooze from Kentucky.
We need snooze from Kentucky. And they're like, listen, we got our own derecho related problems over here. You can't have our snooze. So that was crazy. And I was without power for this shows you how, like, dependent I am on the grid. I didn't even realize that you could be without power for a week. I guess I just assumed, like, President Obama would come save me or something. Like, listen, this has gone far enough. Let's go save Justin.
Like, up to this point, whenever I lost power, I always pictured it like when you blow a breaker and you have to, like, go down to the basement. And there's just a giant switch somewhere that somebody in a hard hat goes over and they got to pull it down and push it back up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then power kicks back on. When I was growing up and we used to lose power... And, like, we would call the power company. I don't know why, but it always occurred to me that they would go, oh, I had no idea. Okay, yeah. Well, I guess we'll check it out.
That's, you mean the thing that we supply time. To the state? The only thing that we supply to the state? We're not doing
the one
it?
Product That's we weird. Produce? Oh.
I'm glad you told us. Because we don't have meters.
Imagine being the dude who answers the phone when you lose power to, like, an entire Eastern Seaboard of people calling that. Like, I don't know if you know this, but there's no power. Like, yeah, I know.
So here's how I dealt with it. Day one was sort of charming. It was also, we were having a record heat wave here. I should also mention that. Day one was almost sort of nice. We were enjoying each other's company. My wife and I came back to the house and we sat outside with a bottle of wine and some candles. It was almost romantic. And that lasted until the next morning when the power was still out. And then we lost our minds and went to Louisville for 2 days because we couldn't handle it. We had to escape the storm. I mean, to give you some idea of how bad it was, like, you couldn't buy... I went to a pump and tried to buy gas, and it didn't have any in it. What? It's always supposed to work. That's the one constant, is I know I can get more gas. I had to get...
Did you instantly feel like you were in a zombie movie? Because I've had people describe to me being out of gas in West Virginia, and it sounds like the beginning of an apocalypse.
Yeah, you know, it's... Well, and everybody... Here's the thing that's so weird about it. There's no reason for everybody to get all this gas. We're not out of gas. If it was like... The electricity store got us a fresh supply in.
Yeah.
Go get it. And I mean, like, some people have generators, but...
It was panic.
That's exactly it. People were freaking out. And, like, I know why I needed gas. It's because the only way I had to charge my cell phone was plug in the car adapter. I know. That's, like, the least efficient charging method ever. But, I don't know, man. I wish I had an answer for you. I lost it. I couldn't get it together.
I was without power for 9 hours and I couldn't stand it. Like, I was doing a show at the time, so I was downtown and we had power there. And when I came back, I called Teresa and we were still without power here. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll grab something, you know, I'll grab some fast food or something so that we can actually eat dinner. I had to drive all over town to find somebody with power enough to make me a hamburger. And there were lines around the block to get into the Wendy's. It was
because they had hamburger power?
Because they had hamburger power.
We have enough watts to produce 10 burgers. They're $100 each. And please, don't tell Dave Thomas.
I don't know if you guys know this. Candles do not produce a lot of light.
Yeah.
You can't do shit by candlelight.
Yeah, nothing you can... Well, I know one thing.
Yeah, what?
That's... Oh.
He's talking. Never mind.
Fucking, what is it, Justin?
Fucking...
Reading.
I thought you.
Oh no!
I thought
you were desires.
I thought you were talking about fucking.
Oh, gross! Those are the two things you can do.
So
people did
eat
it for
hamburgers
like,
and fuck.
People did it for hundreds of years, I guess, maybe even thousands, as many as thousands of years, without electricity before electricity was invented. But like, our brains aren't built that way anymore.
No.
I don't have a brain for that kind of thing.
Here's the thing. I was driving around, and, like, you take for granted how much light there is in the world at night. Like,
yeah.
Street lights, house lights, Porsche lights. Like, I couldn't see stop signs. I couldn't see intersections. Like, it was the cone around my car that was headlights was, like, it. It was terrifying. Like, I was so afraid I was going to, like, just hit somebody, having no idea they were there.
I don't understand why this guy's counting out board games from the jump. Like, if my power ever goes out, it's like, oh yeah, it's board game time. It's right. Like an excuse to play board games. I don't understand why you would want to discount that right away.
I don't think you should. Why aren't
Clue can get really scared.
Oh, I know, because he's alone.
Well, guess what, you can play Mastermind.
I guarantee you play Mastermind, you're gonna forget what your pegs were. Mm-hmm. Instantly.
Sure.
Instantly.
What if it's like a Mastermind drinking game? You set up the board, right? And then you take like 10 shots of tequila. Mm-hmm. And then you sit down to play against yourself.
Yeah, it's called Mastermind. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
This Yahoo answer was sent in by Alexander Hawk or Hotch. One of those two. Thanks, Alexander. It's by Yahoo Answers user Av, who asks, question about smelling?
Okay.
Hi, okay, I have a question about smelling air, like, with your nose. Okay, so, like, I never thought about it, but what if you breathe in a lot of stink air? Does the stink air lodge itself into your lungs, and you get the smell inside of you until the end of time, a.k.a. forever? But because I went to a farm last year, and there was a bit cow poo, and I smelt it, and I still smell it sometimes. Additional details. I saw it on the news.
Okay.
So this gentleman is worried about eternal smell.
Yeah.
He's worried about the smell getting inside of him and living there forever, aka the end of time.
Actually, this is this phenomenon is well known. We just call it something different. Memories.
Yeah.
This is how memory works, is you get a smell inside of you and it never lets itself go, lets itself out, and then
it's actually my favorite kind of memory. It's sense memory. It's like when you smell something and it connects to something else. But I really want to know what kind of memory is attached to the smell of cow poop. Because wouldn't that be like the worst sense memory? Every time you smell cow poop, you think of that girl you made love to on the farm.
Yeah.
Why no. does that doesn't make it?
Why
what?
Would that? Why would the smell of? You should never ever connect the smell of poop and sex in your mind at the same time. Ever.
If you smell poop, you can't have sex. Like that's yeah. the rules. You say, well, listen, baby, you're a red and white checked shirt that you've tied into a knot in front mm-hmm. of you, like farmers' daughters do. Looks so sexy, and I like.
I know I'm a traveling hairbrush salesman.
traveling hairbrush salesman, but listen, it smells like poopy right here.
You're so giving me come. You're giving me come hither eyes, but the air around you is giving me go away, run eyes.
Now I know your father, the farmer, told mm-hmm. me not to touch you, his beautiful virginal daughter. And I should be moseying along to, I don't know, Piscataway or someplace like that, the traveling salesman go. But I smell poop. Is that just me?
Is that just me? I like to mosey. I'm going to Albuquerque.
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 I don't know, guys. I used a port-a-john at Bonnaroo on the last day once. And that smell is like, it comes up from time to time. And it's not like I think about Bonnaroo and then I get the smell. It's like, it lives in like my shoulder blade or something. And every once in a while, if I jostle it, I'll break the seal and it'll come back to me. I think the smell lives inside me forever and ever, okay, at the end of time.
Now, did you think this before you read this question, or is it just an idea?
It's a problem I deal with every single day. But it's okay because sometimes I'll like be walking down the street and I'll get a whiff of Heiner's Bakery, which is in Huntington, and I haven't been to ever. I've just driven by it 10 years ago.
You've just driven by it, and it gets stuck in your knee.
And you get that smell in my knee. I am a man. I am composed of smells, basically. I think
everybody is basically made of smells.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's something you learn in psychology that basically you, the you that is you, is just a building of all the smells you've ever smelled in your life.
Right, that's how you get your personality.
Mm-hmm. Your personality is just based on a collection of smells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why people who like make barbecue for a living are like so jovial. It's because they mm-hmm. are made of barbecue smells.
Right.
Do you remember that time that you laughed at Wedding Crashers? You found that funny because of that time that you smelled barbecue when you were in Memphis.
Yeah.
Wait, how are those two ideas connected?
Well, smelling the barbecue gave you the ability to find things funny.
Yeah.
That is why Amish people are so bitter.
Right. I'm actually a strong proponent of completely and totally dismantling our public school system. Uh-huh. And just creating these facilities where you come in and you plug in some sort of oxygen apparatus into your nose, mm-hmm. sort of like an oxygen bar. And then instead of making children read traditional books and receive tutelage from professors, they just get steak smells blown into their face holes. Or maybe not even steak. Maybe it's fresh bun cotton candy or a funnel cake. Mm-hmm. Or maybe instead of getting sent to the principal's office, you put a little poop in there, you know?
This is in your body now forever. This smell is in there.
I'm sorry, Steve. You're going to get 30 seconds of poop.
Yeah. Oh! You're going in the poop.
I didn't do it.
The poop chokey is what we'll call
it. This is why kids in Africa always look so sad in all those Sally Struthers commercials, because all they ever smelled is zebras and dust.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. probably not.
Those are the two smells that they
have. I remember when I first read the book, The Giver, mm-hmm. and I thought...
That is what we're talking about.
That's so good, Travis. That's set in Africa.
Well, I was just thinking of sharing smells with people.
Yeah, no. Nobody there can remember anything except for one guy.
Right, they don't even see colors.
He does all the smells for everybody, and then he gives them to people.
I remember that time I taught a young African child what sledding was.
Yeah.
And it was pretty epic.
Mm-hmm. Through the smell of a fresh store-bought sled.
And you can read in my biography, What's That Smell? The Story of Travis McElroy.
Can you keep a sachet of some sort of certain smell that will give that will teach someone to love our podcast that mm-hmm. you just carry around with you?
He just carries around a lot of glass baubles, and you Excuse open me. Them.
I'm going to juggle these baubles like Jared from Labyrinth, and then I'd like to crack one open for you, and just if you could just inhale
I'm
this
merchant
parfum.
Of exotic parfums.
And please enjoy this eau de toilette. If you inhale it, it will make you a much better typer.
It does smell like Wendy's. That's
it
right.
It smells like Wendy's. It
Enjoy
makes you a great
the Wendy's
typist.
Memories.
These are my Wendy's memories. The plot of Labyrinth 2. The plot of Labyrinth 2 is me trying to go find Jared. So I can get my
it's me was just wandering the streets of Huntington with a bunch of mason jars yelling for David Bowie.
And people ask me, like, have you been to Whitney's? If I have, I don't recall ever having gone to Whitney's. It seems like I would go. They're pretty prevalent. But because Jared Stahl, no chicken sandwich, no nuggets, nothing. I don't remember a single Frosty because Jared stole all my Wendy's memories. Dance, Wendy's, dance. Jump, Wendy's, jump.
You remind me of the crispy chicken sandwich.
Which crispy chicken sandwich?
The power of Dave Thomas. Fuck.
Duh.
Yeah. I'm going to need to take a two-hour break here so I can go watch Labyrinth again.
I need a 30-minute break to go eat Wendy's and then poop it out, which is about how long it takes to do that for Wendy's.
What if the smell of a certain food made you forget the fact that you ate it, and you would be locked forever? Like, my belly seems fuller.
Yeah.
But I don't recall.
I'm dead, that guy in Seven. This gazpacho looks great, though. I can't wait to eat it.
I can't believe I got to drive back to Wendy's. What's Wendy's? I've never heard of it. Oh shit, Labyrinth 2. Tagline.
Come get the new Inception burger.
Come get the new Inception burger and remember that time that your uncle died. Whenever I go out of town, my roommate likes to bone down in my bed. I've been told by friends of mine, and I also know he has gotten some mouth action in my closet.
Oh,
wait. Come on. What? I've tried locking my door, but it's pretty easy to unlock. Is there anything I can do about this, or do I have to sleep with it? Any suggestions? And that's from Bill Zillionaire.
Your roommate is the worst asshole I've ever heard.
He is addicted to it, right?
you lock your door, and you're like, please don't have sex in my room. I've locked the door, please don't. And he's like, okay, you got it. And then you dip time, he's like, I cannot wait. And he breaks down your door and
that's breaking
your bed.
That's breaking and entering. That's breaking and entering and mouth action.
You, girl, you look so fucking good. Oh, I'm gonna bang you so hard. Just let me get this lock open. I gotta take you on David's bed.
This is not my bed kind of action.
If I don't do it on David's bed, then I can't finish.
Pretend I'm David. Pretend you're David. Two Davids. Imperfect.
There's two Davids.
There's a David in the closet getting mouth action.
Can we stop?
Can we just not say that anymore, though? If we could just not say mouth action.
I just see mouth action is like when you're scatting or beatboxing.
When you're scatting, that's worse.
No, I'll never forget the smell.
Oh, man.
What is it? Why is your roommate such a freak? He loves it.
And not just a freak, but like, you locked your door. It's like the quintessential like boundary issue. Like
this is like one of those things that is such a big deal that it informs so much else about this person. Like, this is not a good guy. Like, you can't, I don't care if he makes muffins every single morning and like it saved your
fresh muffins. Also, I look forward to fucking in your bed when you leave for the weekend.
I don't care if this dude like saved your dad from a house fire. Like,
yeah, there's no excuse. But the good news is, as with every question on my brother, me, I have a solution.
Okay.
You ready? Mm-hmm. One word. Lice. No, hold on. Stay with me. You know you're going away for the weekend. You put lice in the bed.
Okay.
The girl and the guy get into your bed. That can't be helped. They get in your bed. I don't know what people do in beds, but they do it. And then they leave, and the girl has lice. And then she says, "You gave me lice. We got to break up. You're a dirty kid." And then she calls, like, the telephone scene in Bye Bye Birdie. She calls all the girls she knows. She's like, "Did you hear the news? David has lice."
But you don't see how this could backfire is if she says David's roommate's bed has lice.
Oh, you're saying that David.
There's a lot of sacrifice going on here.
There is a lot of it's worth
sacrifice.
Yes.
There's a lot of sacrifice going on there. And you know what? Part of the sacrifice is that David is going to have to get lice too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you got to commit to the goof.
You got to commit to this plan we're laying out here.
But I think my favorite part of your plan is when you said that they would have to break up, as though his roommate has a girlfriend and the girlfriend's totally okay with fucking in the other bed.
So, like, what, is she just bringing home, like, random skanks?
What it sounds like to me. I mean, like, I can't imagine that his roommate's been dating this girl for, like, 2 years, and they're in a loving relationship, and every time she comes over, he's like, so you want to do it in David's bed? She's like, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Why would not?
So you're thinking he's just bringing home randos, like, oh, yeah, no, that's totally me. That picture, that's me and my, yes, my family is black. I am adopted, and also I used to be black, like Nathan, but that's me. That's totally me.
I really want to be there when this guy, like, confronts his roommate about this, and the roommate's just like, I gotta be me.
Yeah. Listen, man.
What if you...
No boundaries.
I wish I could stop, too, but, you know, we've all got our hang-ups. We've all got our things. You know, you don't do the dishes sometimes, and sometimes I have sex in your bed. Like, we all got idiosyncrasies.
What I think you should do is... do dishes in the bathtub and pee in his laundry hamper and try to cook eggs on the TV. And then when he comes home, you'd be like, oh, I thought that's just what we do here. We just, like, do things in the furniture that we're not supposed to do them in. I wasn't aware. That's just something you get to do? I thought...
Next time he has sex on your bed, you burn his bed down. You set his bed on fire.
Cut it in half with a chainsaw.
Cut it in half with a chainsaw. And if you're not going to use this bed, apparently no one's using this bed, so I'm going to cut it in half with a chainsaw.
Yeah, this is a continuum household. We all fucking sleep in one bed.
What if when you left town, you put rubber sheets on your bed?
Ew, grody. I love it.
And so then when he brings the girl in, all it takes is about 3 seconds of contact to your bed before they're like, ooh, 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 ooh.
Take your mattress with you.
That's good.
I'm going back to my folks' place. Load
get
it up
a Murphy bed, so when he comes into your room, there's no bed.
You find him in the wall later dead.
Why didn't you tell me? I deserve better than this. It's like the cask of Amontillado for dirty dorm kids. I'm better than this.
Throw some cold pennies and jacks up in there.
Oh, that's the worst.
People love
that. Oh, we're just crumbs.
Yeah.
Just eat some Funyuns in there. Like, ugh.
Or cums.
What? You're the
worst. There's so many cums in this bed. I don't want to be in here or around it.
Install a black light on your ceiling.
Uh-huh.
Leave a picture of yourself doing horrific things and just slip it between the sheets.
Buzz Lightyear sheets.
Put a mirror on the ceiling, but on that mirror, stick a giant sticker of yourself, like, looking disapprovingly.
Find a picture of your roommate's mom and then have sheets made that have her face all over it. Nothing's happened in that bed. All these suggestions are contingent on the fact that this roommate is a normal person.
Yeah.
Which, of course, he is not. I mean, because he's just like a wild animal. He's like breaking locks so he can get into his friend's bed to bang.
What did you do to your roommate in the past?
Yeah.
That has made him this single-minded revenge machine.
You're right. There is a wrong somewhere that he is attempting to right. That's the only thing that makes
sense.
And
like, you'll bust in on him and he'll be like, do you remember that time you ate that Pizza Hot Pocket? That was my Pizza Hot Pocket,
some
David.
Genghis Khan shit, though. Like, if you fucked in this guy's bed... And he was like, well, in payback, I'm going to fuck in your bed exclusively for the rest of my life.
Hope you don't
even
want
if you move out. If you,
yeah, I hope you weren't planning on starting a family.
Locks.
Yeah.
We don't normally do, like, follow-up on questions. This is one where I really want you to talk to... I have to know. You have to ask him, like, what is the attraction? Does he just not want to get crabs in his bed and he brings him a lot of really real duds? Like, what is the idea? I don't get it. I really don't. And I have to know. I'm captivated.
You live a fascinating life, David.
You live a fascinating life.
You guys are on Yahoo?
Absolutely.
I've got a few. This Yahoo, let's go with this one. This Yahoo was sent in by Elliot Harmon. Thank you, Elliot. It's by Yahoo Answers user. I doubt it too. Who asks? Does wind have free will or does God direct every puff? Come on, somebody has to know, or at least pretend to know.
Somebody has to know, or at least pretend to know. that if
the Yahoo Answers story.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I like any question that starts with "Come on."
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Hasn't this gone on long enough?
Do you know how sometimes, like you can't get a kite going?
Oh, what, a kite?
Yeah, a kite. When you're flying a kite, okay. And you can't get
it. All right, Jesus.
Sometimes you're flying a kite and you can't get it going. Is that
and proof? You're like, good grief.
Yeah.
And then Snoopy walks by.
Maybe, is that proof that God is dead? Is that what that means?
No, it's proof that God's napping.
Okay.
He's just taking a nap
but
right
then
there.
His snore.
Or it's proof that you've done something terrible in your life and God doesn't want your kite to fly.
Yeah.
Maybe if you lived a more pure life. The other question is, like, when a breeze comes along and, like, blows the girl's skirt up and everyone can see her underpants, does that mean God's a pervo?
Yeah, or maybe God's just giving us a little something, you know, for being good.
I'm sorry, zapped? Is that something that happens to you in, like, your day-to-day pretty
every
frequently?
Every single day.
It's single. Even if the girl's wearing, like, pants.
the wind blows her pants up.
The wind blows the
she's
pants
like, up.
She's
like, what the fuck? And then somebody comes along and sharks her.
Yeah. And God directed that man to do that thing.
Once you start assigning things that have happened that God did, like, did God, this Yahoo Answers person has hit on something very primal. Did God make the derecho and knock out my power? Mm. Why, if God has control over it and he knows we need to record Mabimbam, why would God use a derecho to knock out my power?
And here's what so in my Zen training, and this idea of, you know, that there is some guiding force in everything, it makes me think that if we had done My Brother and Me last week, everyone would have died.
Yeah.
Oh, right? It was so funny.
And people were like, oh, it's such a terrible thing that there was no episode this week. But what they didn't know.
Right, there was a joke in it.
If there had been, rampant death.
A joke is so, one of the jokes would be so funny that you would
everybody would be driving, listening to it via their FM transmitters, and they would just die.
And it would be like The Ring. Like, 7 days after you hear this joke, you die.
I don't think it has to be that widespread. Like, I think what's more likely is we'd say something mean about French Stewart and then he'd hear the podcast and kill himself.
Oh, that was the one he would listen.
Yeah. We I don't think I would send him that one. I like his work. I mean, like, I think he would enjoy the show.
Yeah.
But maybe not the one where we say mean things about
Have
him.
Have you been sending him episodes?
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
that was we told you to you were on French Stewart duty, I think, Trav.
Oh, God.
You were supposed to be reaching out to French.
Oh. I thought you said to be Frenching out, and that's what I've been doing.
No. I don't like our two options here, because the options are either God shoots a wind gun at the earth in ways that please him, for the people who please him.
That's a little Greco-Roman for my days.
Or... the wind itself has free will. And it's like, God, there's a skirt! Get it!
All wind is dirty perverts.
Look at that stupid kid with the kite! Let's knock it down!
Now, Griffin, I'm going to give you a third option.
Okay.
Wind does have free will, okay. And God is constantly battling it.
Oh, my God. That's how tornadoes happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's when the wind just wants to blow a lady's skirt up so bad, and God's like, no, you dirty, pervy wind.
That's why all tornadoes move in the direction of ladies with skirts.
All wind is a ghost of a dirty old man.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So we know that. So it's always trying to either blow ladies' skirts
up. Just like The Giver.
Yeah, just like in The Giver, just like in The Giving Tree, all wind is the ghost of a dirty old man.
Right.
So it can either blow skirts up. That's the one thing wind does. The other thing wind does is play with little kids with whatever, like, wind toy that they have. Like,
and as we've already established, it watches people fuck or tries to. So whenever you don't leave your blinds open, because you know it's out there, wind, and it's watching wind. You get it on in your roommate's bed.
Yeah. Wind is the enemy. Now, God's like, I don't know why I thought it was a good idea to make
sentient wind.
Sentient wind? What was I thinking? I was young. I was young
and in love.
I was 40 trillion back then.
I was only 40 trillion. I was making a lot of mistakes, a lot of crazy stuff.
And I didn't mean to make sentient wind. That was my bad. But I'm infallible, so I can fix
this. I meant to make
this.
Sentient dirt.
Yeah.
And then sentient dirt.
Oh, no.
Ugh. Sentient dirt would be the worst.
Wouldn't it, though?
You know what? As soon as it got a tree in it, it'd be like, look at me, everybody.
I've got flowers. What do you want, fruit? I can make it.
I've got so many nutrients.
I got some gold in me, but I'm not going to tell you where.
Hey, look over here. There's an arrowhead. It's a secret. Shh. It's my secret arrowhead. I'm never going to tell. Oil? There's some oil in here somewhere.
Gurgle, gurgle, you got to fight for it, though.
All that worms moving all up in me. It tickles. That's a nice pocket of natural gas over here. Come on and get it. Stupid dirt.
I hate you.
God, dirt. I'm glad you're not sentient dirt. Because that would be all dirt's day.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how many. And then if you start digging, like, forget about it.
Mm-hmm. You know it's good.
How could you do this? I would have just told you where the arrowhead was.
And then, of course, golems. Got to fight with those. So that was all science.
This has been our science podcast.
This has been our science. We should seriously do a science theme show. That would be the best.
Let's do one
whole episode on space.
Here's my idea.
Start sending in your science questions now.
This is such a good idea. We go to Cosine in Columbus.
Fuck.
We go to Cosine Columbus. We do a kid-friendly science show. And we do it at Cosine on the stage.
Would Cosine approve of us
make this happen.
Saying that wind is ghosts? With that, I feel like Kosai has an exhibit called "Wind Is Not Ghosts," and we would be doing our show in front of that, and it would feel,
a
little disingenuous.
I feel like we would be watching people, like Kosai employees, lining the back wall, and they'd start laughing, and then by the end, they'd just be like restrained
physically. Science is dead.
To get up on the thing.
No, this is true.
You guys killed science.
Don't listen to them.
To me, doing our show in front of an audience of like 30 kids would be like working without a net. Yeah. I think it would be terrifying.
All you gotta do is slip one ghost you watch slip. You fuck. And you're like, oh ghost no.
No. My childhood is over.
And you just see like Mr. Kosai go, shut it down.
Shut it down.
And like three like sniper rifle lasers just train on us.
Put him in the time tunnel.
Kosai has an exhibit about checking your balls and boobs for cancer lumps, which you do by watching a video and feeling up prosthetic balls and boobs. I don't think we can get any raunchier than that.
That's true. Kosai is
you should do those things. It's important to learn how to check your stuff. But then you have a thing there that you're like, yeah, feel up on these boobs, Griffin. You're on a church trip. Wait till the
9-year-old Griffin, go to town.
Wait till you're in your pastor's blind spot and then go to town.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Kosai also has that thing with all the corpses now.
What?
They have the bodies? Or
yeah, it's coming in October.
Oh, my God.
So that'll be pretty crazy.
You can just feel up all the bodies.
Yeah, just touch the bodies.
Oh, God.
Have you guys been? Yeah, I can't wait. We got to do this science show.
Okay.
For kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that would get in the way of our long-standing policy of being drunk while doing this.
Yeah.
We could be drunk on science!
Yeah.
I think any kind of drunk
is drunk on science.
Can we do a tape delay?
Yeah.
Is that possible with a room full of children?
Mm-hmm. If we're speaking, like, really, really far away from them, then the speed of sound will figure out
what the speed of sound is, because we'll be at Kosai, so we'll just do some research.
Mm-hmm. You know, but the speed of sound is as fast as it fucking wants to be.
That's not actually true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. it's as fast as you can throw a microphone.
Mm-hmm. You know the fastest way to my heart?
What's that?
Money. Griffin, who is this message for?
This message is for Luke Jordan. It is from Abby, Matt, Sam, Ashley, and Tucker. They would like to wish their brother Luke Jordan the happiest of 29th birthdays and thank him for introducing all of his siblings to Mabim Bam. Luke enjoys rock climbing and snowboarding, but most of all being an evangelist for the chuckles for the brothers three. Here's to him getting it done in 20 does. Squatly pride. Can we examine what that means?
I don't know what squatly pride means, and I do. I have to confess that knowing that people listen to our show that are that active physically, what are they trying to prove?
Is it
a situation where they're trying to prove something, or is it a case where the fact that they are doing it and we are inspiring them to do it?
It's actually Luke and I have an accord. He is my surrogate exerciser. So
he is getting fit
Fit for me, and then I'm living vicariously through his sweet abs and delts and tries.
And you're just filled with squatly pride.
I'm filled with squatly pride. Yeah.
I'm filled with squatly pride for Desiree Gonzalez from her friend Julie Hill.
Not to say that she only has the one friend.
Not just she probably has more than one friend besides Julie, but Julie is clearly her best friend. Because she's wishing a happy 30th birthday to her best friend, Desiree. They both love Poop and Bam, and I love her so much. And then at the end it says, yay.
Which you don't love her as much as I love you.
Listen, Julie, you don't know Desiree like we do.
You back off.
You're done here.
Happy birthday. She may be your best friend, but we are her best friends.
Right. We're her best friends and her brothers. Best brother friends.
Happy dirty 30.
Happy dirty 30. Megan Garland Tyler. I have a message for you. I just ran into the room. I'm out of breath. I've brought a message. Read all about it. I've got a message from Steven Tyler here. He says, happy 32nd birthday to my amazing wife. She and I are both huge fans of your podcast, and she'll be extremely excited about the mention, especially if she can make it into a song. Here's a song. We don't do songs for people.
Here's a song.
Terrence and Philip. I want
you should
know that.
Be our business. So happy 32nd birthday.
You know what? I was going to make an Aerosmith joke. But Steven, you've done such a nice thing here that I'm sure that you get this joke all the time. And I'm not going to do it. And that's my birthday present to you.
I want every single Mabim Bammer listening, every Mabim Bambino listening, when you eventually meet the Aerosmith Steven Tyler, ask him if he's named after that awesome dude who bought the mention on My Brother, and Me. And then run away.
And run away before he unhinges his scary mouth and eats you whole.
like a snake gobbling a mongoose. So thank you to everybody. If you guys are looking for the perfect way to celebrate any birthday, might I direct you to extremerestraints.com? I know what you're thinking. Justin, are sex toys really the best gift? Don't finish the sentence, because the answer is yes.
I was going to say quinceañera. Still?
Yes. Absolutely. She's a woman.
Okay.
For a quinceañera, a sweet 16, or a disappointing 17.
Griffin, what is the deal with ExtremeRestraints.com?
Extreme Restraints sells a number of marital aids that... helps spice up your relationship in ways that you may not know you need, but you definitely do. They have a wide assortment of safe and totally rad sex toys that you should check out, including, and this is a list of things that Mabim Bam fans have bought using the coupon code MIDDLEST, right?
Yes.
Using the coupon code MIDDLEST, you can save how much?
If you use the coupon code MIDDLEST, MIDDLEST, you get 20% off of your purchase.
And which is, that's so week. Much off.
Yeah.
That's a for crazy
this
amount.
From the week of this broadcast.
Yeah.
And then every week after this, if you use it, you get 10% off. So it's an amazing deal.
But they sent us a list with no names, very discreet. They sent us a list of things that people have bought using the coupon code, and it's awesome. Things like the one-shot enema launcher.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the super snake bite suckers. Things like the Blossom Glass Dildo, TM, from the TV show Blossom.
The ostrich tickler, which isn't what I think it is.
They have everything for animals, too.
The like black Japanese season. Nipple clamps, which I think you can use even if you're not a black Japanese.
There's also, if there's one reason that you should absolutely go to their website. Go to the sections for dildos and insertables, and you'll see that in the
picture for the inflatable dildo section, there is inexplicably a can of Coca-Cola next to it. So go there and try to figure out.
Don't why try that to is. Do it with a regular can of Coca-Cola. Can't stress this enough.
No. That's, don't use this.
They
use
are
this.
Not made of load-bearing materials. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, they have a wide selection of things for varying levels of kink. So go check
and
it out.
Extreme Restraints. If you've used the coupon code MIDDLEIST and you've bought some of these products and you've used them and you've enjoyed them, go back and go to their website and write some product reviews and say, tell them my brother and me sent you. Put it in the product reviews. Talk about all the great experiences that you've had with them and how much you've enjoyed the products. They appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Can I say my new favorite thing on this list? I've just read the entire thing. I mean, everything is so exotic with things like the Dougie Style Enhancement Strap or the Trinity Silicone Vibrating Butt Plug. What I like is that there's a thing on here just called the Probe. Sounds like serious business.
ExtremeRestraints.com, coupon code MIDDLEIST. Get it. I got a question. In a couple of months, my older brother and his wife are going to move in. It's great that I'll get to hang out with my brother more, but there's a small problem. I love beer, but my brother is straight edge, meaning no drugs, alcohol, or other stimulant. I know he will constantly judge me for drinking. I'm responsible when I drink. Not that I ever go beyond buzzed. Who gets drunk off beer?
Lots of people. Everyone?
But I know that won't matter to him. Is there any way I can get my brother to get off my back and stop being so judgmental? It's from Beer Fan in Florida.
I think every time he judges you, you just say, oh, and how do you like living in my home?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, how would you like it if you just lived elsewhere, sir? Not, you wouldn't like it? Well, then chill out and let me kick back this brew.
Is this a former party monster scenario? He used to be, they called him the ogre in college.
And that the ogre could pound so many. Yeah. Like,
they called
no
him,
village was safe.
They called and him Shrek.
He would drink out of like a trophy and beat up nerds.
Yeah.
I can't go back to being the ogre. I can't be Shrek anymore.
I had hair on my palms. Help me.
I had a pet donkey and everything. It was ridiculous.
I don't think it was actually Shrek, Travis.
Oh, I want him to be. I lived in a swamp. I fought a tiny John Lithgow.
I am a fairy tale.
I had bugles on my ears.
I was in a movie by DreamWorks.
I am Mike Myers.
Good one. Good zinger, Trav.
Thank you.
Way to really keep the bit momentum going.
There's a gingerbread man.
I was green. Are you the ogre?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm a comedy ogre. I take bits and I crush them.
Sure. Crush them like so many Pabst Blue Ribbon cans against your forehead. I think that it... Okay, if it's a party monster situation, I don't know. If it's a situation where he just happens to be... happens to be not an intaker of those things, I think that's something that actually will get better after exposure. Like, the three of us grew up in a house where neither of our parents drank. Our mom might have the occasional glass of wine on a very rare occasion. Not that I think I ever
I never saw it. Never
I saw it once. And it was when I was 21, and I looked at her and he said, I'm going to order a beer. And she said, then I'm going to order a glass of wine. And I said, very well, mother.
So that was a huge rarity at our house. And I think there's still some lingering, like, when I see someone drink for a long time, like, especially, like, in college and stuff, I had associated people who drank with bad people. Yeah. Like, with like, not bad, like, evil, but, like, it was something you're not supposed to do. And that was mainly just because I'd never seen my parents do it. So I think if he's living in your house and seeing, like, you are drinking and it is not something that, like, impairs your life or anything, then I think he'll sort of get used to the idea. I think so many people who don't have never drank or what have you are under this impression that, like, you have one drink and all of a sudden you're a different person that they can't relate to.
There's a lot of nuance to this question, because if it's a situation where, like, he's a recovering alcoholic or he's in NA, like, maybe it is a little insensitive to... I mean, it's still your house and you should be able to do what you want to do, but if he's recovering from something...
I know a lot of recovering alcoholics that are like, nah, fuck it, it doesn't bother me, like, But that's not the case. Enforcing their lifestyle on you.
That is not the case for everyone, though. This is your brother you're talking about. Like, if it was me and one of you guys was in that situation, I probably just wouldn't drink because I wouldn't want to. I don't know. I just wouldn't want to put you guys.
But I have to ask, how much of the judgment do you think is perceived? Like, how is your brother going? Like, you shouldn't drink. It's bad.
Maybe when you drink, you get paranoid.
Yeah. Well,
but maybe this guy, like, walks up to him every time you crack a beer and slaps it out of your hand and just yells, no.
No beer in my house. Yeah. Wait a minute.
In your house, no beers.
In your house.
Enjoy this Topo Chico.
As long as you live under your roof.
Yeah.
That's quite literally a buzzkill, isn't it? Like, why do you want to be around your straight-edge brother when you're trying to hoist a few? Why don't you go out to a little watering hole? Trying to just hoist a few. For once.
I don't know. I wish I knew more about the situation. I think tentatively, you should just secret drink in the bathroom. No.
Maybe you get him drunk.
No.
I understand, like, spike some stuff and then be like, who's judgmental now, Steve?
I roofied you.
That's awful.
Who's in charge now, Steven? This guy's question does not give me any indication that, like, he says he will constantly judge him, but, like, what has he done with his life that's so great?
They're moving into his house because he got really drunk and set their house on fire.
One of you drinks and one of you doesn't, and one of you is homeless. So maybe it's time for your brother to get off his fucking high horse and kick back a few of these so you can have a life.
Drink Peebers and just relax.
Are you saying that Peebers are the secret to universal success?
No, but I'm saying
the president drinks PBR and he's the president.
Yeah,
if true. You're homeless and you're maybe it's a good time to start drinking because you need to forget about that fact that you don't have a house anymore.
Yeah.
Like, move it. Yeah. I don't understand. If you don't want to drink, I get it. I don't, but I get it, I guess. But to chastise people who decide to, I mean, but that's very easy for me to say, right? Like, if one of you guys started doing blow, like, I would,
or if we were,
get a little judgy about that.
If we were problem drinkers, if we drank to feel and shit, like, then it would be a problem. But this guy sounds like he's responsible because he says it, and that's really all I have to go on. Maybe he's not.
Maybe,
Oops.
The sentence of who gets drunk on beer is kind of...
That's a little worse.
Kind of scary to me. I drink like 30 or 40 of them, and I'm fine.
I can't be drunk. I've been having beer.
It's mostly water anyways.
It's mostly water.
I'm
it's only
just
five.
Sleepy.
I'm tired, and I didn't want to wear clothes.
My blood sugar's low.
Yeah.
I got hot. I took my pants off. It has nothing to do with
it. I just need some sprees, and then I'll be good to go.
I must have just gotten food poisoning. That's the only thing that makes sense.
These beers are rotten.
I wanted to sleep in a swimming pool. It's like camping.
Let's move on.
Guys, this Friday and every Friday at 10 p.m. on IFC, you got to tune for Comedy Bang Bang. It's an absurd half-hour comedy show that only looks like a talk show. They got host Scott Aukerman, band led by Reggie Watts. They got great guests like Amy Poehler, Zach Galifianakis, and Seth Rogen. I don't know why I said Galifianakis like that, but I did. And this Friday, they got Paul Rudd. And there's going to be a robot inventor. And Todd Barry will be there, and also Chris Parnell. So tune in this Friday at 10 p.m. on IFC for Comedy Bang Bang. Comedy so nice, they banged it twice. Griffin, can you give me a Yahoo, please?
Yes. This Yahoo was sent in by Trevor.
Get it
oh, no, I'm sorry. It was sent in by Lisa Holofield. I was asked by Trevor. Thank you to both.
Trevor.
Trevor asks, is it illegal to make a movie about a cat? I would like to make a movie about a cat named Trevor, but I'm afraid to do it, and a lady across the street from me is a lawyer, and I'm worried to do it once my sister made a movie, but I'm not sure if I could do it or not. I really do not know what to do.
Okay, wait. Is the question asker named Trevor, or is the cat named Trevor?
It's a biopic.
It's a biopic about a cat. It's like that movie Fluke, pretty much.
Is this a cat using Yahoo Answers? That's my first question.
So, This is a child. It has to be a child.
It has to be a child.
And this child...
Does it?
There's a lawyer spelled with an O, who lives across the street.
Lawyer the Barbarian.
He knows that Lawyer the Barbarian lives across the street, and in his mind, the way that their whole litigious operation breaks down is they kick in the door and say, no, I'll put you in jail for doing
it. Lawyer is just looking out through the blinds at him filming this cat and going,
you need a filming.
It sounds like his parents have told him, like, you know, don't write on the walls or else the lawyer, the barbarian, will come down and eat you whole.
Additional details, in the film, I will be killing the cat. Like,
that is, yeah, right. Now that is a crime.
Are there any additional details and or answers?
No, it's not illegal to make a movie about a cat. It's only illegal if you hurt the cat. Let the creative notions flow.
No! What is the creative notion about a cat? Like, I saw Milo and Otis. I know it could be charming with a lot of post-production, but at the level a six-year-old, I'm assuming six, is going to be filming, it's basically just going to be a lot of, like,
I'm a cat.
Yeah. My name is Trevor.
This is the story of Trevor the cat and how his parents didn't really love him after the new baby came.
He started packing his bag to run away because he hated his new baby brother, Skyler. Hey!
But then with the economy being what it was, Trevor was very sad.
Bad news, guys. I kind of want to see this movie now. Yeah. I hope it doesn't get caught up in a lot of legal red tape.
Did you guys hear about Peter Hewitt, the director of Garfield the movie, is doing 25 to life? Did you know?
What? Sorry, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
For cat-based crimes.
Idiot.
You stupid asshole. That was going to be the goof of the century. Yeah. Did you know that that studio that produced Garfield the movie was called Davis Entertainment and also Paws Inc.?
Now, is that true?
That is a hundo true.
Now, is he talking... Maybe this kid is talking about, like, the lawyer, the barbarian, and their role in, like, settling distribution rights.
Yeah, or...
managing that.
Maybe the movie he wants to create is Garfield the movie 3, Three Fast, Three Furious... Garfield 3 Kitten Play, and that would probably get him in a touch of hot water.
What if he's making a propaganda film starring a cat named Trevor?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's a sequel to a maybe it's like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and it's the number 2, and it's a movie starring his cat?
Because
that's going to get you into. He's making Ghostbusters 3 starring his cat.
That's a problem. If the whole soundtrack for his kitten movie was by Dashboard Confessional that he, like, ripped off of a CD, that's an issue.
This is my movie. Cat to the Future, starring Trevor.
Trevor the cat.
And all of the Huey Lewis music I could find, which is and 3 songs.
And the smart bartender from Dawson's Creek. I got him really cheap, actually. Surprisingly enough, his schedule was, like, wide open. It wasn't even a big
deal. If his cat's name is Pepsi... this is an issue.
You're going to run into problems.
Yeah.
This is my movie, A Day in the Life of Trevor, music by the Beatles. This has been our comedy show, My Brother, and Me. We hope you've enjoyed it and had fun listening to it. If you have, could you maybe go do a review on iTunes or maybe a subscription on iTunes? That helps to spread the word about the show. And also tweet about it with the MBMBAM hashtag. You can be just like BuzzClick, Cool Teen Naruto, Jerkface Killer, Andrea L. Hill, Durdlin, the Meowthrum, Christa Whalen, Schmidt, Note and Color, Landon K., Lord Wolfington, and so many others. Thank you guys for tweeting about the show and hanging in there with us when it was when we missed a week.
I had an idea. I had like a brilliant sort of pay it forward-esque epiphany for a way that people could spread the word about the show. Is you take a jump drive and you put like your favorite episodes on it and you give it to somebody, maybe a stranger, maybe a friend, and you tell them to copy and paste the episodes off the jump drive onto their computer and then they hand it off to somebody else.
Oh, I love this.
Isn't that nice? And maybe you could even write pay it forward on there. And then people will think that the jump drive has pay it forward on it. And like, oh, I love that movie. I haven't seen it in a grip. And then they plug it in and like, well, I don't know what this is, but I'll watch it anyway. And then they figure it out and hand it off.
Yeah, and you write MBMBAM on one side and on the other side pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just keep passing it around. I love this idea.
So there's an idea. Just something to get started. We talked about doing like burning on CDs, but that's environmentally unfriendly.
So 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do that. Make that jump drive, then take a picture of it and send it to us on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll retweet you.
And then we'll pin it.
So
just to be.
We'll pin it to Pinterest.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed, which is a really good album. Real, real nice tunes, nice strings and strums and drums.
And
I want to tell you guys about an epic opportunity for you, our listeners.
Okay.
Okay.
So maybe you've never made it to a live show before. We haven't done that many. And we have some posters that are only available at live shows, right? So maybe you want one of those posters and you want one that's signed by not only the three McElroy brothers, but also the artist Justin Russo and Sidney McElroy. It's pretty exclusive. Well, here's your opportunity. You can get one and benefit Wesley Johnson. He's having to have some surgery done, and he's trying to pay for it. And you can buy the poster and help him to pay for the surgery. Just go to bit.ly/helpwejo, W-E-J-O, and you can bid on the poster and possibly win it. And then you have your own piece of My Brother and Me memorabilia, and you've helped out an awesome guy. So go check it out.
You've kept a mountain of a man alive. So mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So lend a hand if you.
And thank you so much for listening. Be sure to tune in next Monday when we'll return with a new episode. But until then, thank you for being you. We love you.
We love you very much.
Oh, and give a listen to the other Max Fun shows if you haven't. Throwing Shade.
Yeah.
Jordan Jesse Go. Jajan Hanschman. Stop Podcasting Yourself. Bullseye.
Jesse hinted on his Twitter that they're going to be announcing a new show on the Max Fun lineup. I don't know what it is yet.
What the fuck?
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
like. We just got used to throwing shade and having to share the love of our podfather, and now
better not have any. Better not have any brothers on it.
No.
Or advice. If you give advice, I'm gonna burn it down.
This final Yahoo was sent in by Earl Parsons. Thank you, Earl. It's by Yahoo Answers user Sky, who asks, "If I die, is there Yahoo Answers in heaven?"
Oh shit! I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, me, kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart, three stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part.